Welcome to Direct and Current, an audio broadcast presented by Electrical Business Magazine. I'm Anthony Kapkin. At the end of April 2020, to varying degrees, we were just over 1 month into a national lockdown due to COVID-19. Emergency health measures were enacted, people were asked to stay home, construction was severely curtailed in some jurisdictions, in others it ceased altogether. The economy was shutting down, yet electricians had been deemed essential in most jurisdictions, and by extension, their distributors. So I gathered together a panel of electrical distributors from one coast to the other to ask them what pandemic-related changes, lessons learned, and the like will persist when the crisis eventually passes and we get to our new normal. This is part two of that discussion. In part one, I asked my panelists how the pandemic was affecting their operations and their ability to serve their customers. With that, let's get to it. We've heard about some lessons learned, but what I'm curious to know now, when we sort of get to whatever our new normal is, what sort of changes do you think you see yourself keeping after this crisis passes? And Matthew, to you first, please.
Yes, first I say that take nothing for granted. Since we bought the Electrimat 10 years ago, we were going from year-over-year growth to a larger year-over-year growth, and everything was doing good. And we were trying to get away from operation and to get a more strategic role. Guess what? We are back in the operation and details. So again, take nothing for granted. The other lessons, I think we were not really open regarding work from home. I'm not convinced about full-time work from home, but this crisis let us know that partial work from home is probably very positive. So we will be more open regarding part-time work from home.
Interesting. Roger, if I can put the same question to you. So what changes or learnings in the past days, coming days, might you see being executed full time when we get to our new normal?
I think certainly one of the things I hope sticks, somebody that travels too much, I hope some of the travel gets reduced and we can do a lot more with Microsoft Teams. We've been able to our global executive team of 10 people has been able to meet weekly at various times of the day and night quite easily, and that saves me a flight a month to Europe. So I hope some of that certainly lasts, you know, long beyond the pandemic and for a lot of good reasons, whether it be personal health and well-being or just the environmental footprint it leaves behind as people fly around the world for 2 and 3 day meetings. It's certainly be good if we could reduce that. The other is, as we've already heard, is the working from home. Certainly we fill buildings full of people in a lot of cases, have pretty regimented work hours, and we've proven, especially with a lot of the folks we have working for us, having families at home, now having schooling at home with those that have school age children. We've been able to be fairly flexible on hours of work. And honestly, you know, it's hard to tell, but honestly, I think we're getting the productivity we need to take that beyond just this time in history. So certainly our customers still need people in the buildings and people to come visit them once that becomes acceptable and safe again. But there are components of our business, especially the back office, where a lot of that could be done. And you know, our office is resized to accommodate that. And certainly maybe some hours of operation be accommodating to more people, make it more enticing for folks to do their job in that way.
Well, if I could put that same question to you, Tim McDonald, when we get to our new normal, what will ideal supply look like?
Well, I think what we've learned in having WebEx meetings, even internally and externally, I fly to our head office in Montreal once a quarter, which Roger won't have much pity for, But even that will change because the last couple of meetings that we've had were have been WebEx meetings, and they've been very effective and certainly very cost effective. So I think whether it's internally, externally, being able to speak to a supplier who wants to have a update of some kind, who might feel normally compelled to drive out to Listowel, Zoom can be a great tool for that. So that's one of the things. The other thing that has been mentioned earlier by a couple of people is the work, whole idea of working from home. And we weren't really adopters of that over the years. And, you know, I remember when it first came to kind of become a thing that people were doing, I remember my dad saying, well, I sure hope we never are so stupid as to do something like that. And it's to have people work from home. I think we all probably had visions of someone working from home in their bedroom slippers and with their cat on their lap. And now we know, you know, I know myself, I work from home 3 days a week. And those are as intense, if not more intense days than being in the office here in Listowel, because of here it's, there's the ability to be able to walk, stretch my legs, see other people I work with, have short conversations at a safe distance, of course. So the other thing is, I have a file on my desk that we were running that around office reorganization, and we were running out of room here. And I had all sorts of plans of what wall to knock out and how to reorganize things. I easily don't need to do that now for 2 or 3 years, because I know we can accommodate that with people coming and going and very effectively. So those are things that I believe will be long lasting after the pandemic worries pass.
Interesting. I tend to hear a lot of the entertaining working from home. Greg, let me put that question to you then. How do you see things at Bartle & Gibson when we reach our new normal?
Well, I think like most everybody has touched on right now, I think the communication, the forms of communication will be a little bit different. I travel a lot as well, and I think that that will change going forward. I think the opportunities for us to meet differently, over the last month and a bit, I think most of us have had the opportunities to use so many different platforms for communication, whether it was Zoom, whether it was today GoToWebinar, WebEx, Microsoft Teams. There's so many different options. And I see that communication more and more today from our supplier partners. We've been meeting with them differently than we have been in the past, and quite honestly, more frequently as well. When you take the geography of this country from coast to coast, it's vast. And to have people from a national perspective have time to travel to every nook and cranny of this country is difficult. And I think now they realize that they've been doing this a hell of a lot more effectively using the different forms of communication. And I think on the other side with communication, not only internally in our own business, but externally, is the frequency. We've had, internally in our own organization, we've communicated, I think, a little bit more effectively to our employees over the last couple of months. And, certain things that we may have taken for granted in regards to how the messages were getting out and what messages that we were putting out, how they were delivered and when they were delivered. We've changed the frequency of when they were delivered, and I think it, the effectiveness as well. I think people are a little bit more engaged from a receiving perspective. They see an email coming through or they see a message coming through. They want to open it because they want to know what's changed. I think another thing that will change, I think, going forward is, the physical distancing. Some of those measures will be in place for quite a long period of time. So how that has changed, again, our day-to-day operations from a counter perspective, I think that's, going to be the new norm. Whether they're plexiglass shields that we've installed or have been installing within our counters, I don't think they're going to go away. We're not going to take those away. The zones that we've created to safe zones, I don't think we're going to change that. As people all the way around the world, I don't think, the physical distancing is here and it's here to stay. Handshakes may be a thing of the past. We don't know at this point in time, but they're the main things that will stick with us.
Interesting. Good point. What replaces the handshake in the coming days? Now, Michael, if I could put the question to you. So when we reach our new normal, what does WESCO look like?
What have we learned so far is really be prepared for the unexpected. And it is really nobody could ever expect here, what happened to us, what happened to an entire industry. And yeah, listening to everybody here, I guess the toughest job here when this is all over, or the toughest business, is if you're running an airline company here, because there might be just here by the pandemic that we're currently living through, half of the business might be gone. But what I really appreciated here is that we had the plan B, and actually that came more out of the US here, for all the plans that were established here regarding hurricanes, regarding whatever natural disasters. So we were pretty fast and able here to get to whatever you want to call that new normal. And for a change, people start appreciating IT and not complaining about IT, because our IT teams have done a tremendous job here and make the entire company literally from one day to the other, being able to work from home, to able to work remotely, and just still functioning here without it's really working remotely, working from home. Wester was traditionally, and I heard that a little bit through here, what the other colleagues said here, was traditionally a bit reserved to the concept of working from home. But the current situation, where we are forced into that concept, clearly shows the benefit, and actually the higher productivity of the team. You want to reward your people for a certain outcome and not for an amount of time being present in an office. So that's definitely a big change, and something that is going to be there to stay here for after the pandemic. How are we going to work, and how are we? And that was also said earlier here, related to e-commerce, to our websites have never been that busy, and a lot of customers have changed their approach towards working. And towards how do they run their job sites as well. So which is good. Yeah, that ordering via an app, being independent from opening hours, that all adds value for our customers, and it adds value to us ourselves, to our own productivity.
Interesting. I'll put the same question now to you, Elaine. We know at least one instance with Amy Carter and the Amy masks, that if you let someone work from home, they start making PPE for everyone. So tell me, once we reach our new normal, what practices that you're employing now, you might see some form of continuation in the future?
You know, just carrying on to the sentiment so far about a more openness to maybe a remote workplace than we've seen before, I don't know that at Geary we're ready to full force keep that in place, because one of the things that I feel we can't forget is some of that sharing of ideas and just being in the same room with somebody and hearing how they're dealing with an application or a situation, and or somebody being able to ask very quickly a question, hey, what would you do in this case, or you know, what about this product, or you know, those sorts of things that are a little more informal that you wouldn't necessarily just have a Skype meeting on. So I think maintaining some form of balance to make sure that great opportunity for collaboration casually can continue. So finding some kind of blend to be able to accommodate both, because I do believe that, yes, you could probably get more work done by head down, just working away and not taking a moment to connect with the people around you. But there is tremendous value in a lot of that communication and that building of a relationship to share ideas. So I think it's important that whatever happens when we come through this first wave of the pandemic, that we're keeping a good balance on that and have a good plan for allowing for remote workplace while also not missing out on those great opportunities of human interaction physically. But one of the things that I think we'll also see is a greater embracing of our web strategy by all our people, because I think we certainly had some people that were concerned they were going to lose their job if they pushed the web and e-commerce to our customers. And I think everyone is experiencing great, tremendous movement to web. And our employees are saying, wow, that it certainly didn't take my job away. I still have a great value in this process. So I think it's taken a bit of the fear away from our people, not only for job security, but also they've had to very quickly become experts on our web. And so they're much more comfortable than they ever were. So they're talking to customers about the web and how to sign up and how to use the tools on it or how to look up products or access delivery information, etc. So they're becoming quite good experts on it. So we're going to absolutely make sure we're continuing to leverage that as we get through this. So do see a shift in a positive way for that in our people embracing the web a little more. And certainly our people being more tech savvy than they were in February or January of 2020 today. You know, they all seem to be able to talk the lingo of video conferencing and e-commerce and web and tools that are inside all those technologies. So they're all much more savvy than they were. So that's a good thing. And we'll just keep pushing more and more technology to them, because I think they're realizing out of necessity they had to grab onto it, and it wasn't that bad. And they were able to use it quite well and effectively. So I see some really good things coming out of this this pandemic, this crisis, that we'll hopefully leverage and just continue to grow with it.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at definitely continued investments in our IT and our web fronts. Now, Tim Horsman, if I could put that same question to you, as the crisis is passing and we have our lessons learned under our belts, what may change at EB Horsman & Son?
So it's going to be really interesting to see what sticks and then what kind of is the things that we leave behind us through this. EB Horsman is our 120th anniversary this year, so we've been through a few things in our history, from the Spanish flu and depressions and whatnot. And it occurs to me that handshaking and bowing and all our cultural norms stuck around post Spanish flu. So and SARS and a few other pandemics, maybe at a smaller scale. But people adapt. I like a lot of what we're hearing right now. The remote worker strategies, I mean, man, we were calcified in our thinking, and that has totally changed. I don't know that we need to be careful that the pendulum doesn't swing too far in a moment of crisis, that we find that healthy balance. That remote worker strategy, I mean, from the perspective of work-life balance, climate change, all the things that were talked about, expense management, I'm interested. I mean, if we could do things with 10% less footprint, what would we do with that? How would we redeploy that investment? The other piece that just occurs to me as we're going through this is just the importance of the distribution channel overall. The last mile experience to the customer, our ability to pivot and support customer services in an agile way, whether it's that curbside pickup, I don't know what form will stick, but we're getting tremendously positive feedback in a variety of iterations, project staging, all these things. Like, customers they're delaying some projects right now. Well, now they need help. That's where the channel is stepping up. And, that's exciting to kind of walk through and learn about. There's no question we've had to be really compassionate in our credit process and working with our customers. And again, that's a place where distributors really shine, as we've got personal relationships and we sit down and we talk things through and try to be, reasonable on both ends and knowing that we got to pay our bills. But some of our contractors and OEMs and users need our help right now. So we're trying to manage our way through that. I totally agree. The digitalization is accelerated. But we need to find a healthy balance between that digital customer experience and the, you know, bricks and mortar and the value-added services, supply chain optimization. We've had a tremendous amount of feedback from our customers that say, like, turn off the tap. We don't want another webinar. We don't want another email. You know, how about, like, pick up a phone and call me, or personalize the communication in some meaningful way and connect with me. And so the human element is coming back out. Like, so again, the pendulum, where does it kind of come back to? I hope some of that sticks. Like, it's super exciting. That's the entrepreneurial side of me. Like, once you do, you get all the noise of and negative of the things you can't control, then you kind of pivot to what's in our business realm that we can control. And that's where I look down the road and say, who do we want to become? What sticks?
Cliff, I will give you the last word, but second to last, Jason, if you could weigh in on when we get to our new normal, what things may have changed, what might you be keeping?
I think the group did a great job summarizing everything. You know, we're certainly in line with, you know, finding that balance to Elaine's point in the remote work strategy versus that maintain that intimate part of our business that really identifies, you know, our market and the connections we have with our customers. You know, for us, we're not in that retail space. We've got long-term relationships with our customers. And I think through all of this, over the last 5 or 6 weeks, it's really reinforced the importance of that personal connection and seeing people's faces. Over all of that, I think it's really opened my eyes up anyway to the importance of maintaining an optimistic approach as you're leading a group through this. You know, even as difficult as this can be to manage at times, as tricky as things are right now in the industry, there are opportunities out there. And I think the group did a great job summarizing what some of those are. And I think on the other end of this, you know, the companies who are taking that approach and looking at those opportunities are going to strengthen. And I think the industry will as well. One of the things that we've noticed through all of this, it really identifies the leaders in our business and the folks that can handle this type of a situation. Not everyone's wired to handle it. And I think your natural instincts really kick in when there's this much uncertainty and unknowns, but, you know, it really has identified those folks who are wired in such a way that can handle this type of an environment. Really just, you know, there are folks out there that really dig in and are thriving in this type of an environment. I think it's important that, you know, all of our organizations, we identify those folks and know that we can rely on them, you know, as we kind of move forward and make them part of the teams that really help to design what we're doing to get through this type of stuff.
Please, when we get to our new normal, Cliff, tell me what will Franklin Empire look like then?
I don't know that we're really looking at a single new normal. I think there's a new normal for the balance of this year and probably another new normal next year once there's a vaccine available and immunity in the population. Anyway, looking at the balance of this year, you know, luckily or thankfully, many of our staff who are working from home can't wait to get back to the office. It's not for everybody. I think a lot of people struggle with it. They miss the camaraderie. They miss all the activity going on. And most really do want to get back as soon as possible. And I am thankful for that because I still need a little convincing. You know, we've managed to keep up with everything with the reduced business going on. But when everything comes back and we're on, you know, on full cylinders again, I need convincing that we can really manage that with a significant number of people working from home. So I think we're more open-minded to it than ever before. I think the biggest question mark I have is all of our collective outside sales reps who have been sitting at home covering their customers by phone, by email, by video conference in some cases. What is their new norm going to look like? I think it'll be a long time before they're out taking their customers for lunch and bringing coffee and donuts and all of those traditional ways that they built relationships with customers in the past. You know, many of them are going to be very challenged going forward on how to develop those same quality relationships without this personal exposure that we're all used to. Because, you know, even as businesses reopen and things start to resemble some normalcy, I don't think we're going to be having our vendor reps into our buildings for quite a while. I don't think our customers want our people in their offices for quite a while. So the challenge is going to be great for many of our sales reps. And I don't have any answers today, but some will adapt and I think some will struggle.
Thanks for listening. don't forget to check out part one of two of my pandemic panel discussion with Canada's electrical distributors. Have a great day.